Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. As you can tell from our theme music today, this is no ordinary show. Today we're talking about the best scary movies in honor of Halloween. From Paranormal Activity to The Exorcist to Psycho, today we'll hear about movies you must see to put you in the proper creepy mood for this time of year. Joining me in the studio is Hope Madden from The Other Paper. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Nick Chortis with Columbus Dispatch.
Hello.
And Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive.
It's very scary to be here.
Let's start with a new movie currently topping the box office, Paranormal Activity 2. Hope, what did you think of this? I know you were excited about it coming out.
I was excited, and actually, I was pretty impressed by it. As much as I wanted to see it, I was worried that they weren't going to be able to do a very good job of it, and I was impressed by the way they set it up, as opposed to being like a prequel or a sequel. It was kind of situated right around the same time period. And, you know, the acting was great, and it was awfully creepy. I thought it was a fun movie.
And how did it compare to the first one? Was it creepier or?
The first one was a little, it was very inexpensive. It was very amateurishly done, which made it in a lot of ways creepier because it seemed utterly authentic because they just were not really, you know, actors at all. And so the second one is a little less, the integrity of the film work itself is not there. It's not all shot from the same camera, the entire time. It's not truly found footage. It's really spliced together, but different, mm-hmm. which makes it a little bit less creepy, but they focus on a baby, which makes it a ton more scary.
You're worried about
out.
The baby the whole time.
Yeah.
Nick or Brad, have you seen Paranormal Activity 2?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
No. Oh, you're on your own here.
You're on your own,
So are you going to recommend it for people to check out this weekend?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's Paranormal Activity 2, and it was topping the box office, so obviously people like to watch a little bit of creepiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another movie that's out in theaters right now is called Let Me In, and it's still in a few theaters. It came out earlier in the month, is that right?
It's been out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. 3 or 4 weeks.
It's been out for a while.
It's
mm-hmm.
still in a few theaters right now, and in this scene, Owen asks Abby about her true nature.
Are you a vampire? I need blood to live. But how old are you? Really? 12. But I've been 12 for a very long time.
So that's Let Me In, and I know that many people have liked it. Brad, what did you think of Let Me In?
Well, it's actually a remake of a really excellent Swedish film called Let the Right One In. And you know, typically you expect American remakes to kind of ruin everything that was good about the first one. I know a lot of people still prefer the first one, but I found the remake to really be on par. I have some friends who say it's better. It kind of fell off the radar. Like I said, it's hanging around in a few theaters. It didn't open really big. I know a lot of people haven't seen it yet, but it's probably the best thing.
Well, it doesn't have a lot of stars, and does it? Really any stars unless you count Richard Jenkins, right?
No, I didn't include the names of Owen and Abby in the copy because I didn't even know how to say them. I didn't know who they were.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, and I want to, but I would put a plug in for the original as well. And it's odd because the original just came out in, 2008?
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't in theaters too long ago.
Yeah. No.
What did you think of Let Me In, Hope?
I loved it. I loved the original as well. I mean, it was one of my favorite films of the year that it came out. I think that the young cast in the new film, it's Cody Smith McPhee, who was in The Road, who is great. He plays Owen. And Chloe Moretz, who is in Kick-Ass, who is also really
Hit
great.
Girl. Yeah.
I think that the remake is a little really creepier, actually. It's a little more violent than the original. The original, I think, maybe develop the characters a little bit better. But if you haven't seen the original, I think you will love the remake. If you have seen it, I think you'll be very fond of it. You might like it, you know, even better. But most people, I think, didn't see the Swedish original, and I don't think you should let that stand in your way. I really think it's by far the best of the Halloween-flavored films that are available, and it won't be out much longer, so you should really track it down.
It's a good book, too. It's a good book, too, just in case if we want to get off movies for 1 second.
And if you find the Vampires of Twilight a little too sparkly, it's a great option.
Yeah, it is.
There's not much glitter in this
there's
one?
There's very little glitter.
No. Now, when you say that this is a good movie, you mean good in that creepy, 12-year-old girl as a vampire kind of way, right? Like the
No, it's a good film. Mm-hmm. It's really well acted. It's very well written. It's a good film. The way Silence of the Lambs is a good film. It's creepy and scary, and it's about a cannibal. But there's no getting around that Silence of the Lambs is an excellent film. This is Let Me In is a good film.
Yeah, and there are themes of there's a lot of bullying in the movie, yeah. which is kind of key to both films, and there's sort of this strange friendship, and there's a lot of tenderness to the movie.
Yeah. That,
But it's also scary.
Is there a love story between the two of them, or are they kind
of
too young?
It's more of a buddy picture. It's okay. A little more of a buddy picture. It's actually quite sweet in that way, I think.
Now, I wanted to ask about when we talk about scary movies. I got a lot of response before the show began. Everyone loves scary movies. Oh, I love scary movies. I love to be scared. What makes this genre so popular? Why do people like to be scared? What do you think, Nick?
Well, the reason you hear a lot of the time is that it's cathartic. That you can, as Stephen King has said in the past, you can go and experience death and then walk out of the theater and be perfectly fine. And it's the same goes for scary stories and spooky tales and all that. And I asked actually when Stuart Gordon, who's the director of Reanimator, came through Columbus last year for the horror marathon. I asked him kind of the same thing, what the attraction is, and he told me about the same thing. That it is kind of a cathartic experience. You can go in, you can have the daylight scare, you can confront those issues of death, and then you can walk out and get in your car and go home, and everything's okay. So in a way, I guess, the conventional theory is we're working things out as we watch these scary movies.
Brad, what do you like about being scared?
I mean, honestly, almost on an evolutionary standpoint, we don't live in fear of lion attacks anymore. We don't, that sort of natural adrenaline from the dangers of our surroundings are gone from our past. And, this may be a way to recreate them. I mean, if you've ever been to a really good scary movie, at the end of it, the lobby is one of the chattiest, most high energy places because everyone, just sort of shared this roller coaster ride together.
Hope, why do you like to be scared?
I've always been fascinated by horror films, and I blame my parents for that because I was not allowed to see anything at all as a child ever. And when we would go Krogering, my sister and I would go hang around. They rented movies at the Krogers when I was a kid, and we would just look at these, David Cronenberg covers, and we would just look at the VHS covers and make up stories about what it was. And I actually got an enormous amount of trouble in the fourth grade. I wrote a short story called When a Stranger Calls, if you're familiar with that title. It's because I stole it from a movie commercial that I'd seen. And we put it on for a PTO during Holy Week. I went to a Catholic school.
Oh, dear.
I know. And because I hadn't seen the movie, of course, because I was 10, my play was actually a lot more carnage-ridden. Everybody died. Babysitter died. Children died. Police died. Parents died. Everybody died. The nuns were not happy about it. My parents were less happy about it. A lot of kids weren't allowed to play with me anymore. It was really quite – but I have always been, since I was a little kid, absolutely fascinated with horror films.
Older sisters?
I do have older sisters
okay,
and
so
older brothers.
They corrupted you.
They corrupted you at the young age of 10.
They took you into the horror section. Yeah.
And I think in your childhood, those R-rated scary movies are always a forbidden fruit. They're always denied by the parents.
Absolutely.
Which makes you want to see them even more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, we had a comment on Facebook that says that the last few scenes of Silence of the Lambs are the scariest things that Eric has ever seen. No movie is as frightening as the final scenes of Silence of the Lambs. So let's listen to a part. This is the classic scene between Clarice and Hannibal Lecter.
You see a lot, Doctor. But are you strong enough to point that high-powered perception at yourself? What about it? Why don't you look at yourself and write down what you see?
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Now that's a scene where if you've never seen the movie, you know that scene, and if you've seen the movie, then you know that scene.
Right.
Hope, you had Silence of the Lambs as your written down in your list as your all-time favorite.
It is. It's my favorite movie ever. And it's funny. A lot of people actually are not fond of horror films, and when a really excellent horror film comes out, they always recategorize it as a psychological thriller. And I've often pointed that out. This is a movie about a guy who eats people helping the FBI track down a guy who wears people. It's a horror movie, is what it is. And it's, you know, for my money, it's the best one. And I credit that not just to the spectacular performances from everybody, but mostly Jonathan Demme's direction, because the colors are so muted and the music is so glorious and it's just so well done. It's so understated that it just gets under your skin. It's incredibly creepy. I love that movie.
And Nick, you remember parts of it, like Frederica Bimmel from Belvedere, Ohio.
That's right. That's right.
I remember seeing that movie and they said Belvedere, Ohio. I was like, where is that? I am never going there. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. It's one of those indelible performances. I mean, maybe we don't appreciate it when it happens, but a performance that becomes iconic, you know, kind of immediately, and all of a sudden Anthony Hopkins in that mask is up there alongside with all, you know, all their great horror icons, and you know, petered out in a number of sequels and prequels, but that original is still powerful stuff.
Brad, what do you think of?
Oddly, got together with some friends. We had a cookout on the 4th of July. You know, we grilled some burgers, drank some beers. For whatever reason, we decided to watch Silence of the Lambs. It's not the most
natural
patriotic of movies,
you
know, we had a few beers. and, you know, I hadn't seen it in years. It's still terrifying and still almost flawless. It's a fantastic piece of storytelling.
It is.
You know, you kind of forget, everyone knows Anthony Hopkins is, you know, he has, what, maybe 30 minutes of screen time?
Oh, if that.
And he's all you remember from it.
Oh, you know what? Ted Levine doesn't get enough credit for that.
Very true.
So good in that movie. He is so creepy.
Now, what makes it that you can see a movie like this one, as an example, over and over again, even though you know what's going to happen, you know what happens at the end, but you can still be scared by it again and again?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question. Well, for me, I guess it's just watching Hopkins' performance and Jodie Foster too. I mean, she's terrific in it. Obviously, the jump scares are kind of lost on you the second or third time around, but maybe that's a sign of a really good, effective, scary movie is one that can scare you on second or third viewing, like The Exorcist or something like that. Whereas maybe a movie based more on you know, things jumping out of the closet or
coming around the corner really quickly, that's
going to wear off, you know.
If you're like me and you have your eyes closed for half the time, then you have to watch it the second time.
So I mean, there's different kinds of scary movies. Hope makes a good point. This one gets under your skin, and some others on the list that we have here to talk about get under your skin too, whereas, you know, I'm trying to think of an example, but something like, maybe like Blair Witch Project, you know, was very scary the first time I saw it, and then the second time I saw it.
You just focus on how
it just wasn't
the camera
scary.
Angles,
yeah,
and you're like, right. Oh, this isn't that great.
Yeah. With the pacing of the reveals in Silence of the Lambs, they're so well done that even when you know what's coming up next, Jonathan Demme just kind of, you know, the Lecter's escape scene, the reveal in that ambulance. I don't want to spoil it if for some reason in the last 20 years you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs. But the build up to that, even knowing when it's coming,
the tension is amazing. Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jarovich. Today we're talking about scary movies. In the studio, we have Nick Chortis from the Columbus Dispatch, Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive, and Hope Madden from the other paper, 614-292-8513, or allsides@wosu.org. After the break, we're going to talk about an Alfred Hitchcock classic. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. On your morning commute, get the stories behind the headlines with Morning Edition.
I've only shown one at a time. I haven't taken both horses to the horse shows.
The change, Tillman says, is because of the down economy.
As opposed to spending $1,500 at a horse show, I'm only spending $700 at a horse show.
Start your day with the award-winning WOSU News Team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Support for WOSU comes from Palmer Miller Nelson Insurance Agency Incorporated, serving Central Ohio homeowners and businesses for 155 years. 261-6300 or online at pmnins.com.
In today's economic climate, there is only one sure bet. The world is changing and at lightning speed. I'm Kai Rizdahl. As the day's events unfold, join us for the very latest, later on Marketplace, from American Public Media.
Thank you.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich, and of course you know that as the shower scene theme music from the classic Psycho, and just had to put that on the list because, you know, what's a show with about horror films without Psycho? Thoughts on the shower scene?
You know, and it's playing at the Gateway this weekend, so if you've never had a chance to see it on the big screen, you know, catch it.
It's interesting. I just watched a documentary called Psycho Legacy, which it wasn't that great, but it did analyze the shower scene as a lot of different documentaries have, and it's just interesting to point out that there was a lot of argument about whether they actually showed the knife going into the body, and how people have analyzed that scene frame by frame, and it does appear that at the very tip slips into to a prosthetic near her belly button at one point. Yeah. But other than that, of course, there's very little blood in the scene, almost none. Of course, there's the shot of the blood running down the drain at the end, but people always hold that scene up as a good example of how something can be really seemingly graphic and horrifying without being really graphic, you know, without showing the knife going into the body or blood splattering all over the place.
Well, now, on another front, it was what was it, 62? Was that the early 60s when Psycho came
60,
out.
1960. This is the 50th anniversary.
That's right.
Actually,
that's right.
Yeah.
You also get a perception that you saw more flesh in the shower scene.
Yeah, true.
Which was a little risque. You think you think you saw more skin and more blood than you ever really did because
and at
so
the
well.
Time it was, you know. Shocking, yes. And horrifying. We watch it today, and it's still very effective. You know, and that's a good
sign,
too.
The film as a whole is a lot more subversive than I think people remember. You know, I mean, she was in the very beginning of the film, and Janet Leigh's character, right before she decides to steal the money, she's sitting in her bra and slip on a bed with a man that she's not married to. And, the whole film really
scandalous.
Is a lot, by 1960 standards, a lot more than I think people recognize. Mm-hmm. And, and Anthony Perkins, that is such a great performance because you realize you're rooting for him. And I think that's one of the first horror villains where that's the case, where you realize partway through, you don't really want anything bad to happen to this poor guy. You know, what's a couple of dead bodies?
Right.
He had a terrible childhood.
It's his fault.
So that's playing at the Gateway,
yes.
Psycho?
Mm-hmm.
It is. All right. This weekend, just one showing, or do you know?
A couple showings, actually. I think it's, according to what I have here, midnight Friday and Saturday, and then 1:30 and 7:30 Sunday. And I think they even extended it beyond that, but I'm not positive on that. But I do know those showings this weekend. Yeah.
Got to see a scary movie at midnight. 614-292-8513. And Bruce is on the line. Bruce, what's your comment about scary movies?
I was just going to say that I think perhaps you're going to consider the fact that the film stands up multiple viewings. It's probably because it's so well, the storyline is so well done and it's so well crafted cinematically and so well acted that you actually still get into it again. At any moment, knowing how it's going to progress, you can step outside yourself and not be scared at that moment, but you still get absorbed because it's so well done. You're still inside the characters, you know, on the screen. You forget, at least momentarily, that it's coming again, you know?
Yeah. Bruce, what's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, I would have to say probably Silence of the Lambs, yeah.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
614-292-8513. That's the way you can tell us your favorite scary movie. And one that was on several lists that I looked at of the top 50 scariest movies of all time is The Shining. So here is the classic bathroom scene from The Shining with Jack Nicholson.
Little pigs, let me come in. Here's Johnny.
All right, The Shining. Who loves The Shining?
I love that movie. I love that movie.
And that's back-to-back terrifying scenes set in bathrooms.
That's true.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Wow. It's quite a theme.
We're so vulnerable in there.
And the little boy on his little
Yeah,
little
Red Rum.
Yes.
And the twins.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The twins.
I have to say, I'm a twin, and my older sisters often compared us to the twins in The Shining, and we didn't care for that at all.
It's funny. It's actually quite different from the novel, if you've read the Stephen King novel, where Jack, the main character, is an alcoholic, and he shows up at the hotel, and kind of it's a slow build to insanity. Punctuated by a very violent ending, but in the movie, it almost seems as if Jack Nicholson's character is insane from the very start. I mean, on the drive up to the Overlook, he seems completely out of his skull.
And Kubrick just goes crazy with the visuals in this movie. This movie is so visually glorious and incredibly creepy to look at. And just the crazy antics going on in this room. As you open doors, like, is that man in a bunny suit? What's going on here?
It's also I also think it's very funny.
It is. I do too.
Whole back and forth between Jack and the bartender that he may be imagining or maybe a spirit in the hotel is very funny.
Oh, and if you've never seen The Simpsons, The Shining, seek it out. It's the greatest piece of television in history.
Yeah, very funny.
There's also a YouTube video when I was trying to find that clip from The Shining. There's an alternative trailer to The Shining that is the happy Shining.
I think
about
set
a
to
happy,
Peter Gabriel.
Really
right,
funny.
It's very funny.
A happy family going to this cabin for a vacation, and it was really funny. Yeah. So if you've never seen that, you can find that on YouTube. 614-292-8513. We have Brian on the line. Brian, what's your favorite scary movie?
Well, it was The Ring when I was in college, and looking back at it, I think it's kind of silly, but we had rented it when it came out on DVD, and it was like a three-day weekend, and so my roommates were gone, and my dorm mates next door, their roommates were gone except for him, so we watched it together in his dorm, and then, you know, we were watching it at night, and then I had to go back to my dorm room, and all my roommates were gone, and it stuck in my mind, but now when it's on, you know, TV, cable TV all the time, I mean, 10 years ago, why did I think this was a scary movie? But still to this day, that movie always scared the bejeebus out of me.
In that single experience, sure.
All right, well, thank you very much for the call. Let's listen to this horrifying scene during Katie's funeral when we see how she was discovered in the closet.
I spoke to three different doctors, and not one of them could tell me exactly what happened to my daughter. She was close with you. She confided in you.
Yeah, but she never said anything. Nothing that would explain what happened.
You could find out. Rachel, please. I saw her face.
All right, so obviously you can't see the face on the radio, but if you've never seen that face, then you need to check out The Ring and probably the last movie made about a videotape, right?
Yeah. The end of an era. That's right.
So I know, Hope, you had The Ring on your list.
Yeah, I'm actually very fond of that movie, and I think it all starts with the videotape. You know, whatever they show you on that tape that dooms you forever, it would be so easy for it to just – I think that's where the whole movie lies. It's like if they didn't do that well, then – and they did. And I thought it was very creepy. And Gore Verbinski directed it, who went on to do, of course, the Pirates of the Caribbean films. And the way he works with light when they go onto the island with the lighthouse and Brian Cox, who's in it for such a small time but is so great and creepy. And then the little girl coming out of the well, who's actually, of course, a man. And that's one of the things that makes it so creepy. The way it's filmed, the way it's stop action shot, and it's actually a man, a very pasty skinned man coming at you with that wig. It's a creepy film. I enjoyed it. And I remember when I saw it being shocked that it was PG-13, like when it was over. I was like, what? And if you think about it, really, nothing terrible. I mean, there's no blood at all. But I don't think I would recommend children watch it.
What did you think of Brian's comment that when you see it again, though, it's not as scary?
That's actually pretty common. I think The Ring has – it's kind of, you know – it's gotten a tough rap over the years, and I think a big part of that is it led this wave of these supernatural Japanese horror film remakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it got so diluted. Mm-hmm. You know, there was The Grudge. There were Ring sequels, Grudge sequels, every variation of it.
Suddenly cell phones were haunted.
I can't remember
the name of that one. But there was it was among the first of this wave of Japanese horror remakes,
but actually it's funny. To
remains
me,
one of the most effective.
The Ring to me is a superior film to Ringu, which is the original. And that's very rarely the case. But I actually think it's a much better movie.
I completely agree with that.
614-292-8513. We have Kim on the line. Kim, what's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite scary movie is the original filming, The Haunting of Hill House. I think
nice.
It was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Very good one.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, do you want to tell us what that's about?
Well, a scientist brings a group of people together with paranormal tendencies to study the usual old mansion. And it's a very subtle development of fear in the film, and you, for a while you don't know if it's because these people are nuts or is this place really haunted. And it's just it's a great buildup of tension. And, of course, as a child, your greatest fear is to be laying in the dark in your bed and think that there is a ghost in the room with you. And she, at one point, asks, well, who was that holding my hand? And it's like, ah!
Is that?
I think it's very good buildup of tension. There is no blood or guts in it, but it is a scary movie.
Is that one you can see again and again, or have you only seen it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I watch it every year.
Thank you very much for your call, Kim.
Thank you.
You hope you.
I love that movie. I love that movie. I love that book. It's a Shirley Jackson mm-hmm. novel, short novel, and it's so great. And what's really unfortunate to me about that film is that it was remade in the early 90s, The Haunting, with Owen
Neeson.
Wilson and Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And the cast actually was good, and was good if you read the book. I mean, the cast is really well-suited. Lily Taylor plays the lead, and she would have been perfect. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the script writer apparently had not read the book or seen the original film at all. It's so bad. The remake is so bad, painfully bad. But yeah, the original is absolutely one of the creepiest ghost story movies ever.
We've talked a lot about good remakes this morning.
Yeah, this is not one.
That's the exception. Those are usually the exceptions.
Now, there's a lot of movies, and I guess it's easy to get them mixed up because Kim was talking about The Haunting of Hill House, but I also wanted to talk about The House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Different movie.
Very.
Listen to a portion of the trailer from the Vincent Price version of this film from 1959.
You're invited to my party in the house on Haunted Hill, where so far the ghosts have murdered only 7 people. So won't you come and make it 8? You'll see human heads without bodies. Mysterious pools of blood dripping from the ceiling. The walls move slowly in against you. Don't try to escape, you can't.
All right, so that
terrifying.
Is The House on Haunted Hill, Vincent
I love that
Price.
Hypnotically sinister voice.
Yeah. Yeah,
Vincent Price, I could
it's
just
great.
Listen to him talk forever.
Vincent Price could probably read Dr. Seuss books and make them terrifying.
It's true.
So, Nick, you had this on your list because it's showing this weekend.
It is. It's showing at the Ohio Theater. They do the summer movie series every year, but they're going to open up the theater again and show House on Haunted Hill, and they're going to have some events surrounding it. You know, it's a B-movie, and it's kind of family-friendly. We haven't talked about a whole lot of those on the list so far, but this is something that you could conceivably bring your kids to.
So it's scary, but in more of a funny make fun of it kind of way.
Well, I don't know about make fun of it. I mean, it's from 1959. It's a B movie, and it's directed by William Castle, who of course is a great B movie film filmmaker, and also a showman. Included lots of gimmicks in his. In his films, like ghosts coming out of the into the theater
That's
and things
right.
like that, and
right.
ghost viewer glasses. Now you won't get that at the Ohio Theater. They're about the only gimmick they'll have, and it's not really that. Is they're going to have the haunting organ music before and I think after the show. So, but
what's the Ohio Theater without the organ music?
Right, but
yes.
No, it's a fun, and again, this is another one that was remade years later with Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah,
and it was. Terrible.
I have to say, in looking for screams for the show, that movie, House on Haunted Hill, had the best women's screaming.
No, I mean, to me, it's not so much an ironic pick. I mean, it's not conventionally scary as we would think these days, but it is a lot of fun. It's about a man who invites people to stay overnight in his house. In a haunted house, it's not his house, and he offers them a large amount of money to do so to see if they can survive the night. So it's a good haunted house movie.
We have an email from Brian. He asks, how do you feel about the recent trend of remaking classic horror or psychological thrillers as opposed to watching the original? And we talked about that a little bit. Maybe you want to talk about a bad remake?
Well, a lot of people didn't like the Psycho remake.
I will actually defend the Psycho remake.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of times if a remake is done well, even close to as good as the original, even just in the ballpark, it's going to reach an audience that it isn't going to go back. You know, a lot of people won't watch a black and white movie. A lot of people won't watch a movie with subtitles. So,
we don't want to encourage that.
But do you think that what he's really asking about, because he's talking about a recent trend, would be like that Michael Bay produces a lot of remakes of 1970s American horror films. And actually, actually, they've moved on through the 80s.
Into the 80s kind of, now, right.
So it started with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I personally love Tobe Hooper's original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I love that movie. I think it's a classic of the genre. And I thought the remake was abysmal.
Yes.
I'm also a fan. I'm not as proud to say this. I'm a fan of the original The Hills Have Eyes, Wes Craven's The Hills Have Eyes. I hated that remake. I hated the sequels to those remakes. I'm not a fan of the original Friday the 13th, but I didn't care for that remake either.
I did. The Michael Bay. I mean, I'm a film critic. I hate Michael Bay as much as anyone.
Sure.
But the Friday the 13th remake, actually, the original Friday the 13th isn't a great movie.
No, by any stretch.
You know, your memories of it may be good. The sequel to it was actually better than the first.
Mm-hmm. It just has a good title.
But out of all the Michael Bay produced, I think Friday the 13th really nailed a kind of campy B, you know, lots of gratuitous violence and nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Just what you want on the weekend.
Here, let's take a call from Stewie. Stewie, do you like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre or the new one?
Actually, I like the original better. It was more psychologically scarier. The new one had a bit more blood and gore, which is also frightening, just to see what one man can do to another. I mean, that, I think, humans are scarier than any monsters I've ever seen on television, just because it could be the guy next door. Actually, I think it was based on an actual character, Ed Gein. They actually based Hannibal Lecter and Anthony Perkins off of a mass serial killer.
Off the same 1930s. All off of Ed Gein.
Yeah.
Off of one very messed up guy.
Quite a contribution to society.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you for your comments about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Stewie.
Okay.
614-292-8513. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we're getting ready for Halloween with horror movies today. Brad Keefe is joining me from Columbus Alive, Hope Madden from the other paper, Nick Jordis from the Columbus Dispatch. What is your favorite scary movie of all time? We'll get to a few calls after the break. And also after the break, we'll talk about the movie that was named the scariest movie of all time by Entertainment Weekly. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, Patti Smith talks about the late 60s when she wanted to be an artist and found a kindred spirit in another would-be artist, Robert Mapplethorpe. Her memoir, Just Kids, has been nominated for a National Book Award and is out in paperback next week. Join us.
Today at noon on WOSU 820, NPR News.
This week on This American Life, Tom got involved in politics for the first time last year, co-founding the Tea Party chapter in Petoskey, Michigan, with his best friend Rich. And at first he loved politics. He doesn't anymore.
Rich had pulled his stunt with us, and it taught me it's a filthy, rotten, stinking political business.
All politics is local. Local is your best friend. Our midterm election special.
Sunday at 4 on WOSU. Support for WOSU comes from the McCoy Center for the Arts, presenting Leanne Rimes, touring in support of her upcoming release, Lady and Gentleman, Sunday, November 7th at the McCoy Center for the Arts in New Albany. Details at mccoycenter.org. A sustaining membership automatically renews, saving you and WOSU time and money. Give $20, $50, or $100 a month to show your continuous support for WOSU. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
Ooh.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. And, of course, that is the theme from The Exorcist. And we have Don on the line. Don, you like The Exorcist?
Oh, I think it's by far, in a way, the scariest movie of all time, much scarier than The Haunting of Hill House, which my wife called and suggested.
Oh, no, a family fight.
How about that? Yeah, The Exorcist, I saw it at a great old theater at the Salem Mall in Dayton, an upstairs theater, a very intimate theater, and it was it had to be the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. Excellent movie.
Have you seen it more than once?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call, Don. And then we have William, The Exorcist 2. William?
Yes, The Exorcist 2, simply because of the fact that there's a scene in it where a nurse is down at the end of a hallway.
That's three.
That's Exorcist 3.
That's three, and that is a creepy scene.
Yes, where you don't see anything. She walks into a room very calmly. She crosses the hallway, and there's a ghost or something that comes up behind her and snips her head off, and you don't see anything.
All right. Well, William, thank you very much for your call about Exorcist 3.
I thought, yeah, Exorcist 2.
The Heretic. No, no.
All right. So who wants to tell us why The Exorcist is the greatest scary movie of all time?
For starters, I think The Exorcist is probably the single most common movie that children watch when they are way too young to see. I saw The Exorcist when I was 10. I saw
10.
The Exorcist when I was
11. Did you see it?
Probably 12, 13.
Okay.
But, you know, I had a strong religious background, and that also plays pretty heavily into how scary you
it
think.
So
I
don't
hope,
yeah.
hope in
yeah.
that. Her Catholic school
well,
would probably.
We might have three Catholic school kids here then on this panel.
Wow.
Because, yeah, I think I agree with that.
So Catholic school kids are ending up being movie critics and loving scary movies. That's kind of funny.
I remember they re-released this in the version you had never seen before in 2001
mm-hmm.
or 2002 or something like that. And I just remember sitting in the theater, having seen The Exorcist multiple times, probably half a dozen times, and still being completely taken in by it, you know. And I think a lot of that speaks to seeing it again on a big screen in a theater where it's a very different and I think better experience, even when you're at home, you know, alone watching it on television, which can be very freaky and very creepy, but that's the way the filmmaker intends you to see it.
I could see a movie like The Ring being more creepy at home because it's about people watching a video in their home, but mm-hmm. then I can see The Exorcist being
well,
bigger.
Well, because maybe it was just, you know, the sound design is so layered in that film, and you really get that in a state-of-the-art
I think
theater.
That's one of the reasons also that it stands up to multiple viewings is that Friedkin really has so much going on in every scene. I mean, so much. And you're never going to take it all in the first time you see it because, for one thing, you're mm-hmm. terrified. And so you're not watching closely.
Little whispers, just little things that sound like they're, dropping in the background or, hitting the floor or something
right.
like that.
Now,
it's very creepy.
I'm not an Exorcist expert. There's a 2 and a 3, and 2 is horrible.
Oh, actually, there are a lot of sequels. Okay. There are a lot of sequels to the film, and none of them are really particularly good. 3
wasn't bad.
Yeah, it has a couple of good moments. There's another moment. The moment with the nurse is probably the most famous in the film. But there's another moment that I personally have always found terrifying, and there's an old woman goes into a confessional to confess her sins, and her voice is the voice of Satan, I swear to you. And confessionals are creepy anyway, and then there's a scream, and it's the priest, and then there's all this blood underneath of it, and it's really quite a creepy scene.
And I think 3 was directed by William Peter Blatty.
It was.
Who wrote the original Exorcist, the book.
And that first movie was paced so well. You say it holds up to multiple viewings. That's because the tension builds really slowly. Mm-hmm. Sort of modern horror movies have this requirement almost. They almost have to have a big scare before the opening titles and then just kind of keep hammering people. A movie like that, not much going on, but you're on the edge of your seat the whole time. And when it builds to that climax, it's unforgettable.
Yeah, and people talk about the pea soup and the head spinning and all that. And to me, that's not what sticks with me about the movie. It's just kind of a real underlying feeling of dread as you watch it. I think
and it's the sign of a good horror movie when your young actress has to be psychologically evaluated to make sure she's mentally sound enough to play this role.
Ooh. Do you know what I find funny, though, is that Max von Sydow was playing an old man in that movie in, 1973? And he's in Shutter Island earlier this year. And it's like, how old is he? Is he like 100?
Made a deal with the devil.
He's going to live forever. There you go. And we have David on the line. David, tell me why Alien is your favorite.
Well, it's Alien, and it's I have two other movies that kind of fall in the same category of the dark, scary spaceship, kind of haunted house line. Alien, Event Horizon, which I find super creepy, and also Sunshine. Those movies are just, you're locked away, and you can't really escape what's going on. I'm talking about the first Alien movie.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
Exactly. But those movies are very dark, and they give you that added sense of there's absolutely no way to get away from what's going on. You're pretty much forced to deal with what's going on in the movie at the time.
Well, thank you for your sci-fi entries, David.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Nick, you...
Yeah, I had Alien on my list, which I think is a... You know, terrific. Growing up, I almost preferred Aliens more, but Aliens is the straight action picture, whereas
right.
Alien is really a haunted house. It's a haunted house movie. I mean, they're trapped in the spaceship, but it's even worse because they're in space where, you know, all these other haunted house movies you watch, they always come up with some sort of gimmick or some way to keep them from running out of the house, you know, which is a viewer, that's my first reaction. Just get out of the dang house and you'll be okay, but there's nowhere to go in space. It's just you're floating in a vacuum. And there's absolutely no escape. You're trapped in here with this monster, and it's just tremendously effective, very claustrophobic.
I think that's the key to so many of if you look at the list of the all-time great scary movies, so many of them have these themes of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
They have these themes of that's why Jaws was so scary, that's why The Shining was so scary, that's why Alien is so scary.
Mm-hmm. So the dread of being alone is something that will make your skin crawl, or mm-hmm. the dread of being alone and something really horrible happening.
And I want to point out just
real trapped.
Yeah, trapped. Alien does a really good job of a lot of times in horror films, people will separate and go their own ways for the dumbest of reasons, and it always kills the reality for me. But they find a good way to separate the crew members in Alien. It makes sense, and it's organic.
And Alien, for me, was the movie I saw when I was too young.
Okay.
I think I saw that before The Exorcist.
Speaking of a movie being trapped, we have a portion of the 2005 thriller, The Descent.
Sarah thinks she saw someone back
so
there.
So what?
I don't think I saw someone. I saw someone.
No.
You heard something and you saw what you wanted to see. It's the dark. It plays tricks on people. Hello! Please!
And, of course, there is somebody there. Brad, tell us about The Descent.
The Descent's a 2005, I believe, British import. A group of young British women go on a caving adventure, and things go awry.
It's horribly
wrong. I think, actually, Alien's a pretty good counterpoint for it. It's got that same – it's got massive amounts of isolation. If you're scared of the dark, it was a great – I mean, it's great on home video, but it was a fantastic movie in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And you had this on your list. Columbus Alive this week has the top 10 underrated scary movies.
Yes. Came in at number two.
So tell us about the number one underrated scary movie.
We actually – you know, we got a lot of great feedback. The movie's called Frailty. It was Bill Paxton – I always get the Bills backwards. Mm-hmm. Bill Paxton, his directorial debut, Matthew McConaughey starred in it. It was a really interesting take on the modern slasher film. It touched on the religious themes, you know, maybe the same fears The Exorcist does for us. But I don't know. Like, so many people gave us so much applause for including that. So apparently it's got a cult audience out there, and if you haven't seen it, you definitely should check it out.
Well, and if you'd like to see the other eight of the top 10 underrated scary movies, we have a link at our website, wosu.org/allsides, and you can see a link to that Columbus Alive story. We have Mark on the line, and he wants to talk about or recommend a movie. What's your favorite scary movie, Mark?
Well, for me, the most convincingly scary movie I've ever seen is Diabolique. In the original version with Simone Signore.
Do we know about that? Can you tell us a little bit about the movie, Mark?
Yes, it's set at a rural French private school, and the two women, the wife and the mistress of a very abusive schoolmaster, conspire to kill him. And they drown him in a bathtub, and they put his body in a swimming pool. And then when the swimming pool is drained, his body isn't there. and it gives rise to some really spectacularly scary scenes. I don't want to throw away the end of the movie, but I find that supernatural is the most is the spookiest when you don't know whether to believe in it, and that's the characteristic of this film.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation,
Good
Mark.
Good choice.
Yeah, it's another one with a bad remake, a bad American remake starring Sharon Stone.
Boys, it's just a...
Skip that one.
So is what the movie Mark was talking about, though, is it's a French film, he said.
Is.
So is it French when he would have seen it with subtitles? Or...
Yeah, 1955.
All right. And we have Terry on the line. Terry, what's your favorite scary movie?
Blair Witch Project. And I saw it when I was 45 years of age, and I was afraid to go to bed that night. I would not watch it again. It's too scary.
We talked about that.
Thank you very much, Terry.
It doesn't really stand up to repeated viewings, but I have to say that no film has ever terrified me the way that movie did. I obsessively watch scary movies, but I am pathologically terrified of the woods. And my sister saw this first because she lived in Boston at the time, and it didn't have a wide release right away. And she called me. And she's like, "They've made this movie for you." And oh my God, they did! I can't tell you how much that movie scared me.
I don't think it held up to one viewing. I didn't care for it. No. And here's something: I really love the sequel. Nobody likes Blair Witch 2, but I'm a big supporter of Blair Witch 2.
No, I didn't care for that one.
614-292-8513. We have a few minutes left for your recommendations of your favorite scary movies. Ginny, you're on the line. What's your favorite scary movie?
Did you say Jenny?
Jenny, sorry. Well,
oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. My scariest movie is Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What
why?
Scares
I want to hear why.
It?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to understand you.
What is scary about it?
The whole thing. I still think about it. That's why it was made. When he goes, he has his mask on and his cape, and he goes to this house. I mean, it seems like it could have really happened. And there's all these people there. It's like a coven, and they're chanting, and they all have these masks on, like that you would see from Venice. And he thinks that nobody can see him. And I guess that's the thrill of it, is that nobody knows who anybody is, and then he's called out, and then there's, he's afraid he's going to have to go to the center there, and they're all chanting, and then...
I think you're getting scared just telling this.
Obviously, it's bothering you.
I still think about that, how that all came about, and what it really meant. I still don't understand it. Does anybody there understand?
All right, we will ask the panel to help you out, Jenny. Thank you.
I do think that Kubrick pulled a lot from the old Black Mass movies there were a lot of them in the 60s and 70s films that included a big black mass that where everybody was and there was the young woman there and everybody had masks on, and I think he pulled pretty liberally from that, which I found a little funny. And I think it's a very effective movie. I like the movie. I don't see it as a scary film.
It's just an interesting choice because wouldn't categorize it as horror.
What category would it be in? Normal, just drama?
Psychological.
I guess a psychological drama. I mean, it's definitely unsettling. Mm-hmm. It's an unsettling film.
Sure, sure.
And we also have an email from Debbie. She says, the ending of the movie 7 is so frightening.
Oh. What's in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah, we could sit here and tell personal stories about
7 is a movie I will not watch again.
I was the last person in America to see 7, and I wanted to completely thank my friends who had seen it multiple times for not telling me Kevin Spacey was in it. I think that was one of the best-kept secrets. He was not in the promotion.
That's right.
He was so midway through, one of my favorite actors.
It's a movie that announced Fincher, I think. I mean, it wasn't his first film, but it was the first one where you go, oh, this guy's really got talent.
His first film was actually Alien 3.
Yeah, it was, which is terrible.
And his next film is
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yeah. Fingers crossed. I don't know.
And we have Mike on the line. Mike, what's your favorite scary movie?
Well, I wanted to talk about Phantasm, and it's not outright scary, but I really like movies that just leave you with a few bold, vivid, creepy images that stick with you. And Phantasm does that for me. Also, The Omen. I don't know that the Phantasm's a great movie through and through, but there's some images that are tough to get out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that recommendation, Mike. What is Phantasm about?
A boy thinks he sees something malevolent at the funeral home where his dad has just been buried, where his mom was buried a couple of years previously. And it all evolves. This the tall man. He doesn't have the character doesn't have a name. He's just called the tall man.
He's a great underrated
it's
horror
true.
Villain.
That's one of the things. If you have a great villain, you can pin a lot of bad movie on that. And that's really I think what that movie does. He's a very effective creepy villain. A lot of what goes on in the film is kind of silly and goofy. It involves sort of almost. Not Ewoks. What am I thinking of? Jawas. Almost like little Jawas from Star Wars movies. But the tall man is creepy.
I think Ewoks are pretty terrifying too.
Yeah. We have two emails, one from Bob and one from Derek. They're both recommending Rosemary's Baby as mm-hmm. being an oldie but goodie and also scary.
Well, there's one with your black mess in it.
Yeah.
And a really effective scene at that. Yeah, Rosemary's Baby is just another one that, like The Exorcist, is just unnerving. You know, it just crawls under your skin and kind of stays there. I mean, I've seen it multiple times, and it is one that you can go back to and back to and back to. And like Brad said earlier, I can't remember what film we were referring to, but it's another one of those slow builds. You know, which. Maybe back when it was released, it wasn't considered so much of a slow build.
Right.
But certainly what we're used to in the horror genre today, or even in the thriller genre today, it really takes its time to get there, and the payoff is hugely worth it.
We only have a few minutes left. Nick, are there other movies playing this weekend that
Well, I did want to mention, we talked about The Shining. That's actually playing over at the Arena Grand this weekend, tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. So you can check that on the big screen.
You want to see The Shining
as well.
You want to see him breaking into the bathroom on the big screen.
Yeah, certainly a good one to see on the big screen.
Right.
And Hope or Brad, is there anything else you wanted to recommend in our last minutes here?
You know, the Grandview Theater has a couple of stuff going on.
Yeah, they have Saturday is.
Yeah.
Well,
we
Friday,
that,
tonight
sure.
they're showing Robo Geisha mm-hmm. at midnight. And then tomorrow, Fritz the Night Owl. He returns and he's going to show Night of the Living Dead, the original Romero Night of the Living Dead. He's going to be there live and do some break-ins, and so it should be fun.
It's actually going to be.
And it's free.
It's free, and it is recorded. I don't know if Fritz is going to be there.
He is. Well,
is he
going to
be there?
Yeah.
Okay. But what it is kind of a recreation of Fritz's show on Channel 10, which ran in, from the 70s to the early 90s. So there's actually vintage commercials along with Night of the Living Dead from 1974.
Nice.
And they're a lot of fun. I got a chance to see a little bit early portions of it. And it's just a lot of fun to see those vintage commercials, and also Night of the Living Dead is a really good movie.
It is.
So,
and this is the Grandview Theater.
The Grandview Theater. And Studio 35 has Rocky Horror, as it always does.
Of course.
It just happens that it falls on Halloween weekend, so nice.
Yeah.
And I think Fritz is responsible for an entire generation in Central Ohio of kids seeing scary movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure, sure.
It's fantastic. I would never have seen Satan's Cheerleaders without him.
So it's a recreation of that late night movie show.
All right, so obviously we're very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This has been All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurovich. Thanks to Hope Madden with the other paper. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
And Nick Jordas from The Dispatch, thank you for
thank
being
you.
Here. And Brad Keefe from Columbus Alive, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Amy.
We'll have to have Halloween more often. We'll have to do this again. And also, thank you to Sal Fissionary at the controls. We'll end the show with the theme music to Friday the 13th. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News.